So we're in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, is what we're looking at today. Now, the film, The Grey, tells the story of a group of oil drillers in the USA. I don't know if you've seen that film. So they are on a plane on the way to Alaska, and then it crashes in the middle of nowhere. And 8 of them survive, but they soon discover they are in a territory full of wolves, right? These wolves hunt down human beings for food, basically. And the wolves begin to kill the survivors one by one, right? And if you've seen the film, until towards the end, right? Towards the end, there's only one person left. Our hero, played by Liam Neeson, right? But just when we think our hero has survived the deadly wolf pack, he stumbles right into their den, just like that, right? And so in the film, we have this final dramatic scene, right? Our hero is face to face with these deadly wolves, right? What is he going to do? He's by himself. They're there, face to face. But what he does is, you see, he looks up to heaven, and then he starts shouting blasphemies at God. And yet, at the same time, our hero is asking God for help. Effectively, what he's doing is he's demanding that God should prove to him that he is God, not a phony God, but a real God, and God should prove to him that he is real by saving his life. Right there and then, he demands God to prove himself, right? But of course, there's no response from heaven. Just dead silence. So our hero says to himself, after uttering more blasphemies, he says, well, I'll just do it myself. And of course, you guessed it, isn't it? In typical Hollywood style, Liam Neeson makes a last heroic stand against the alpha wolf, and he kills it with a broken bottle. And so we are left with this end to the film. And we're thinking to ourselves, what is that about? Well, the message of the film is actually very simple. It is this. Life is a struggle against the circling wolves of despair. But don't count on God to help you. You're on your own, says Liam Neeson. So you need to pull yourself by the bootstraps. Life is what you make it, not what God makes it. That's the message of the film. All films have a message. When you watch them, you should think about what's the message it's trying to communicate. And in that case, The Grey, that's what it's communicating. Right? Now, it is true that what we do matters, isn't it? Listen to me. God will not do for you what you can do for yourself. Okay? God won't do for you what you can do for yourself. We must fulfill our responsibilities that God has given us, and we must do them. God has commanded you to read the Bible. God won't read the Bible for you. You must read the Bible. You're capable of reading the Bible. Read it. God has commanded you to pray. Pray. There are things God has commanded you to do, and it's not his job to do those things for you. God won't do for you what you can do for yourself. So that's true. There's an element of truth to the movie, isn't it? But we are not enough, though. That's the point. Relying on you to care for you is an illusion. So the movie gets it completely wrong. Relying on you to care for you is an illusion, right? Think about it. As a person, you are just one of 7 billion people on a small planet in a large cosmos. In relation to the universe, your lifespan is a mere blink. And you face many threats from pandemics, riots, wars, big business, big government. Right? You don't generate the air you breathe. You didn't create the ground you walk on. You, like the rest of us, will die someday. And you'll soon be forgotten. That's reality of life. You, just like the rest of us, is powerless. So looking to yourself or other people to hold your life together will never fulfill your hopes and dreams in life. You and I need power that can meet all of our needs. A power that is sufficient in every sphere of life. A power that's sufficient for today and tomorrow. You and I need power from God, our Creator. And the good news of the Bible is that the true God has revealed himself to us in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is God dressed in the human rags of our flesh. That is Christ. God wearing our skin. And you will never find peace and security by looking deep inside yourself or relying on other people or even relying on the government. No creature holds themselves. What you need is only found in Christ. And so today what I want to do is I want to look at one of the passages in the Bible that encourages us to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. And please look with me again there at verse 17 there. It says this, Colossians 1 verse 17, very simple verse. It says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now this verse, verse 17, is part of a larger section in Colossians that is teaching us about who Christ is and what he's done for us. Right? And in verse 15, we are taught that Christ is God made visible, isn't it? He is the image of the invisible God. He is God made visible. That's who Christ is. Right? And he goes on to say that Christ is supreme over all things. The firstborn, the first rank over all creation. Right? That's verse 15. Verse 16, we are told that Christ is our creator God. For by him, verse 16 says, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Everything that exists has a beginning. And the beginner of all creation is our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is saying in verse 16. Well, what I want to do this morning is just to look at the truth that flows from that, which is in verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things are together. The key truth this verse is teaching us is very simple. It's what's written there on the headline. Christ is our timeless sustainer. Christ is our timeless sustainer. Christ is not just the beginner of all things. He is the everlasting sustainer of all things. Christ does not just hold our life now. He will keep holding us forever. He is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. Now, I don't know if you've ever watched the BBC TV series Doctor Who. Have you seen that? Doctor Who, right? Well, it's about a fictional alien race of humanoids called the Time Lords. It comes on BBC, right? Now, the lead character there belongs to this race of Time Lords, right? And like other Time Lords, the Doctor is able to see everything that was, you know, using his phone box, everything that is, and everything that could be, right? And of course, he can get to any point in time to change history with this advanced BT box, right? They seem to be disappearing now, these BT boxes, but he's got one, and he never disappears, right? Now, the series is very popular, right? Even though it seems to have lost, it's got a bit of work in one or two places, but it's still popular, right? Why is Doctor Who still popular today? Why is it popular? Well, I think it's because Doctor Who, you see, taps into this yearning in all of us for someone who is truly Lord of time and space. We long for a savior like Doctor Who, right? Someone who is like us, right? He even uses our phone box, right? And yet he is powerful enough to beat the Daleks of our lives, right? That's what we long for, someone like us, and yet someone who somehow transcends us and can beat our enemies. That's what we long for. And that's why Doctor Who is popular. But the sad truth is that Doctor Who is not real. right? He is no time lord. The good news of the Bible is that God has come to us in Jesus to be our real time lord. That's the good news of the Bible, right? Christ, like Doctor Who, has put on our humanity. But unlike Doctor Who, Christ is our eternal God. He is before all things, Paul says. Notice that word before, very important. Because the word before means prior to a point in time. Paul is saying Christ didn't start to exist 2,000 years ago. Christ has never had a beginning. He is the timeless one. And we read of this, don't we, in Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same what? Yesterday and today and forever. And by the way, notice that both Colossians 1, verse 17 and Hebrews 13, verse 8 speaks of Christ in the present tense. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Colossians 1, verse 17, he is before all things, and in him all things are together. It is the present tenseness of these verses that's quite important. Because they are both communicating to us that the oldest person who has ever lived, right, has always lived. And he continues to live. And he will never be outlived. Christ is the ever-living, ever-present one. He's a timeless one, right? All followers of Christ worship the true and living and timeless Christ. Our God is not a dead idol or some fictional character. Christ is alive and is reigning now. And notice here that Paul says in Colossians 1 verse 17, did you notice that Christ is before all things? He is before all things. And in him all things are together. Don't miss that, the all things. Why is Paul keen to add this phrase, all things? What Paul is saying to us, there are only two categories in life. There is Christ, the eternal one, and there is the rest of creation, right? Which is finite and temporal. So Christ, the eternal, and on this other side, finite, temporal creation. Now, why am I emphasizing that? Well, because of the next earth-shaking truth that Paul says in verse 17. Look at verse 17 again. The second part of that. It says, and in him all things hold together. Paul is saying Christ is a timeless glue that holds the entire created universe, the entire universe. Now, I'm not a scientist, but our brother is. So scientists and others, they tell us about a wonderful part of the human body called laminin, right? You can check it with the pastor, right? Now, without getting into all the jargon of molecular biology, laminin is a cell bonding molecule, isn't it? The human body is organized around various types of cells which do different jobs, right? But what is the glue that holds them all together so that the body does not fall apart? What does that? Well, the answer is laminin. And I think it's the image that Paul has in mind here in the second part of this verse. He is before all things, and in him all things are together. Christ is the laminin of the universe, we might say. Christ did not just create the universe and then walk away from it, right? Like human inventors do. You know, when Steve Jobs created the iPhone, he didn't attach himself to the iPhone, did he? Right? You don't want to use it. Otherwise. The iPhone is there. Steve Jobs is dead. Right? Human inventors don't attach themselves. They don't sustain the thing that they create. Right? But Christ is different. Right? We are being told here. Christ will forever be the laminin that holds everything that he has created so that it does not fall apart. I just want you to think about that truth. There is an actual person, Christ, who is literally sustaining the chair you're sitting on. There's an actual person, Christ, who's holding every single thing in the universe. Nothing is running itself. Christ is ordering it all together. And notice that phrase together, isn't it? And in him, all things hold together. The phrase together conveys stability, order. You know, Christ is not holding chaos together. You know, the universe is not a failed task on Silent Sugar's apprentice, right? It's not a failed task, right? The universe, yes, is a bit like a glass, right, that is cracked with sin everywhere. But Christ, our God, still keeps all the pieces to allow the universe to function and flourish. The song you learned in Sunday school is really true, isn't it? He's got the whole world in his hands. Christ has all things in his hands. He is the glue of life. Now, I know probably you know this truth already, but I thought it was worth coming here to remind you this truth, because we forget this truth. And what I want you to do is just to think about the implication of this truth. Because this truth that Christ holds all things together is a great window for us to guess through the many rich perfections of the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, this truth reminds us that Christ is all-powerful. Christ is all-powerful. His power is so great that he sustains all that has existed and is existing now and will exist in the future. Listen, Christ doesn't need to take a break to regain his strength. He does not need to catch up on some sleep. Our Lord does not grow faint, or weary. You know, Christ never mourns at doing too much work. Christ never nods off while reading a sentence of a book. The power of Christ is always at 100%. Christ doesn't depend on anyone. He never feels helpless. No one can back Christ into a corner. Christ does whatever he wants, when he wants. And if we are true followers of Christ, this all-powerful Christ is our brother and king. And he's using all of his sustaining power for those who belong to him. So this truth reminds us that Christ is all-powerful. The other thing it reminds us is that Christ is all-present, isn't it? Because for Christ to hold all things together, Christ has to be in every place he has created to hold it together. Now, you may have heard this philosophical question that the philosophers like to ask. If a tree falls in the forest, right, and no one is around to hear it, does it make a sound? Well, the verse says, yes, it makes a sound. Why does it make a sound? Because Christ is always there to hear the sound. Christ holds the tree and the whole forest together, right? And beloved, when I think about this truth, I'm like, what a comfort. What a comfort it is for us to know, who are true followers of Jesus Christ, to know that our Lord is always watching over us. That Christ is with us in every situation. All of last week, the eyes of Christ watched over you. He was with you when you got out of bed. He was with you as you ate your breakfast. He went with you as you went for a stroll, perhaps with the kids to the park. He went with you to work. Christ was with you when you're doing shopping, when you perhaps found yourself on your street celebrating the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. And Christ was with you as you walked into the church. Christ is with you now. There's never a place where Christ our Savior is not with you. He is in every place, every situation. He is holding all things together. This truth also means that Christ is all-knowing, not just all-powerful, not just all-present, but it also reminds us that Christ is all-knowing. All things are in his hands. You are in his hands. Because all things are in the hands of Christ. He knows them better than you know the palm of your hand. You know, Christ never has a question about anything. He never dreams of someday learning new things. You know, Christ never looks at the television and says to himself, wow, that's new. I didn't know that. Christ never does that. The knowledge and wisdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus, is perfect. He knows all things, past, present, and future. And beloved, what a great encouragement that is. I'm encouraged because to know that Christ knows everything in my life, not just now, but at every point of my existence, comforts me. To know that he knows me enough to sustain me in every situation. It comforts me to know that my Savior knows my innermost thoughts and feelings and fears, and is the one sustaining them, holding them together. It comforts me to know that. And finally, this truth that Christ is our timely sustainer is reminding us that Christ, our God, is full of grace to us. Why do I say that? Well, because Christ does not need to keep this world together. Christ is our self-sufficient God. There is nothing that we can give him to improve his life. So Christ sustaining us, creating us and sustaining us, is just out of sheer grace. Christ. And we, you and I, do not deserve Christ sustaining us every day. We are mere creatures of dust. But more than that, we are sinners. And our sins spit at the one who sustains us. We are so ungrateful to Christ, aren't we? From the moment we enter this world, we were born with hatred for Christ. That's what Paul later on says in Colossians. And chapter 1, verse 20 to 23, we were haters of God. We were at war with God, enemies. That's a natural condition of every human being, enmity against Christ. In our natural selves, we can't help but wage war against God. And everyone enters this world with a fist, with moral guns pointed at God. And so Christ will be well within his right to send us right now to suffer eternally in hell. Because that is where each one of us, by default, belongs. But Christ has not done that to you today, has he? You know, by the time I finish this sentence, Christ our God has taken away the breath of 6 people on the planet. That's a fact. 6 people have just died. And probably all of them have entered hell. But Christ is preserving your life. Right now, he's preserving it. And more than that, if you are not truly trusting in Jesus this morning, Christ is giving you time to truly repent and trust him so that you can avoid the everlasting fires of hell. That is how wonderful and gracious our Lord Jesus Christ is. He is holding your life together now to say to you, repent and surrender your life to me. Right now, he says. And the tragedy as I think about this truth is this. Some of us here just don't get this still. This truth has been preached many times from this pulpit. But yet you're still refusing to repent. You're still refusing to turn to the Savior. You're still defying this wonderful Christ. You are like those who bombed London Bridge, isn't it? You know, this country gave them everything. It held their life together. In every way possible. But by bombing London Bridge and causing other attacks in the UK, they decided to aim their murderous weapon at the UK that had sustained them. Oh, dear friends, If you have not truly surrendered to Christ, that is what you're doing to Christ. You are shooting at his holy chest with your rebellion. So repent of your sin now. Humble yourself before Christ, our sustainer. Plead to him to forgive your sin based on his death on the cross for you. What about those of us here who are trusting in Christ? Why do we need to know that Christ is our timeless sustainer? Why has Paul written this truth? Well, the context of this truth is actually verse 11 to verse 12. Now, just read it here in the ESV, but you've got your version there. The ESV says, it puts these words like this. It says, may you be strengthened, that's verse 11 to 12. Paul is praying, he's been praying since verse 9. And then he comes to verse 11, he says, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks, verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Okay? Now, we don't have time to look at these verses in detail, right? But that's the context of what Paul says. Paul here is praying for the Colossians to endure life with two things, with patience and with joy, right? That's the context. Okay, he prays that. Then in verse 15 to 23, Paul is saying, we endure with patience and joy by focusing on what? On who Christ is and what Christ has done for us, right? And so he goes through all of these attributes of Christ to remind them, this is that by thinking of who Christ is, this is how you grow in patience and joy. Now, this morning we're looking at verse 17, right? In verse 17, Paul is saying, keep remembering that Christ is your timeless sustainer. That's how you grow with patience and joy, right? So the two things we need to apply to our lives, if we're followers of Jesus this morning, is this thing. First of all, let this truth that Christ is your timeless sustainer grow your patience in Christ in whatever situation you're facing today. The reason why I've come here this morning is just to encourage you as a believer to grow first and foremost in patience in whatever situation you find yourself this morning. What is patience? Well, in the Bible, patience is not taking our future in our hands. It is waiting on Christ, our God, to act for us when he sees fit, right? If you are a true follower of Christ this morning, you have the double comfort that the Christ who's holding your life together is your Lord and Savior. Now, I think we all agree that the Queen cares about all of us, right? That's why we are doing all these parties for, right? We all agree that the Queen cares for all of us, right? But we would also agree that the Queen cares more about our children than she does about us. We understand that. Well, this is the same with Christ, isn't it? Christ cares about each part of his creation, but he has a special kind of love for you. He loves and cares for you in Christ as his own child. Christ came to die for you, his child. He came to make you a part of his family, to share his life with you. Christ, our sustainer, now lives in you. The believer is in an amazing position. He's being sustained from outside by and being sustained from within by Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, Paul says in verse 27. And so whatever situation you're in, if you're trusting Christ, give yourself to Christ to lead you, to guide you. Wait patiently on him. Do not rely on yourself. Look to Christ to lead you. You know, this coming week, a family member may say unkind words, and you'll be tempted to take matters into your hands by letting off some steam. But remember this truth. Christ is already holding you as his creature and as his precious child. So why retaliate? Be patient when you're slandered. Maybe next month, a new boss may arrive at your workplace more nasty than the last one. Or maybe your current nasty boss will still be around and just get worse, right? You'll be tempted to be impatient. You feel the urge to return the favor to them. But remember, Christ is ordering you at your place of work. We must let this truth grow our patience in Christ, because a patient heart is a worshiping heart. When we are patient, we are loving and serving Christ. So patience must be something that this truth reminds us that we need to grow in. Secondly, let this truth in Christ grow your joy in Christ. That's what Paul prayed for. That's the second thing Paul prayed for, that they would grow in joy, isn't it? Patience with joy. So let this truth that Christ is our timeless sustainer grow your joy in whatever situation you find yourself in today. Listen, joy in Christ is not about wearing a permanent smile. That's not Christian joy, right? To be joyful in Christ means to have this inner peace based on who Christ is and what he has done for us. Our assurance in Christ should make us rejoice truly inside in every circumstance for who Christ is and what he's done for us. Not at the difficulties, but for who Christ is. Being thankful that Christ is our timeless sustainer. You know, during the 4th century, John Chrysostom, the Archbishop of Constantinople, was brought before the Empress Eudoxia. She threatened him with banishment if he kept preaching the gospel. How did John Chrysostom respond? Well, he just told her, "You cannot banish me, for this world is my Father's house." The Empress said, "Oh, John, but I will kill you." Chrysostom said, "No, you cannot, for my life is hid with Christ my God." The Empress said, "I'll take away your treasures, John." Chrysostom said, "No, you cannot do it, because my treasure is in heaven and my heart is there." But the Empress said, "I'll drive you away from your friends, John. You have no one left. Are you sure?" John Chrysostom said to her, "No, you cannot. For I have a friend in heaven from whom you cannot separate me. I defy you, for there is nothing you can do to me." John Chrysostom understood that Christ holds all things together. And he understood that Christ especially gently holds in his hands the life of his children, in life or death. When we remember that the one who bled and died for us is also the one who's holding this vast universe together, it will fill our hearts with patience and joy. We'll rejoice in the middle of challenges, because we know whatever we are going through is not being driven by chaos or chance or luck. No, our life is being held together by Christ our Savior, who poured out his precious life to save us from hell with a love that will never let us go. Life often hurts, doesn't it? We can feel alone and empty. Sometimes we go through situations that really humbles us. We feel like our life is falling apart. And that is painful, isn't it? But it does not mean that Christ has lost control of your life. It means Christ is allowing you in that situation, to be in that helpless situation, to remind you that it is not you that you need. It is him that you need. It is Christ you need, not you. Pain and suffering is Christ's way of saying to us, no matter how blessed you become, beloved, no matter how wonderful your life becomes, right? You still need him. You still need Christ to keep hold of you. And you know that you're only here today because Christ has already kept you in so many ways. Christ is holding you and will continue to hold you. And if you're in Christ, I just want to encourage you that you do not have a weak God. You are being held together by the all-powerful, all-present, and all-knowing, and all-gracious God. It is true that our lives very often can seem like Liam Neeson's Wolf of Pack of Wolves. We can feel like we're being cornered to extinction. But that is not the reality for the believer.
The reality for the believer is that Christ,
our Creator, not only created the wolves that chase us, but He also sustains those wolves. And because He's in control of all things, beloved, we have no reason to despair in any situation. Nothing can touch us without Christ saying so. And what we need to do is, therefore, is to keep preaching this truth to ourselves every day. Keep reminding yourself to live by the word of God, not according to your feelings. Remind yourself every day, wherever I am, my Christ is holding me. Whatever I am facing, Christ is holding me. When I pray, Christ my Savior, who holds me, is hearing my prayers. And the more you believe this truth, His word, over your feelings, the more you grow in patient and joyful endurance. To the glory of Christ and for our good. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we have in Jesus our all-powerful, our all-present, our all-knowing, and our all-gracious Savior. We worship You, Jesus, that You not only created this world, but You hold it in the palm of Your hands. We love You. We thank You for all that You do for us, not only creating us and sustaining us, but saving us. Oh, Lord, we repent of the many ways in which we forget this truth. We pray that You would forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for taking this truth often for granted. And I do pray for anyone here that doesn't know You, Lord, hasn't come to that position of true surrender to You. Oh, Father, I pray that You'd have mercy, Lord
God, compassion on them. I pray that Your Holy Spirit would
convict them of sin and bring them to true repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And I do pray for anyone here who's trusting in You and they find themselves in a season where they feel tired, weary, and life hurts. Oh, Father, I do pray that You would teach them to be patient and that You teach them to be joyful. I pray that they would not be held captive to worldly thinking and that they would not be held captive to their emotions, but they would surrender everything to Christ. And so, Lord, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.